This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 65, brought to you by you by now. Every week, store shelves are inundated by new comic books. Ron, Josh, and Connor will tell you which ones suck, according to them. It's the iFanboy.com podcast. Fuck, it was a good one. It's the iFanboy. It's the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 65, brought to you by youbynow.com.
Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode number 65 coming at you.
Boom!
I'm Ron, and I'm here with
Connor
and Josh
and that other guy.
Oh, I'm still here. Rest assured, I will be documenting the many strange ways that these nerds or iFanboys go about their lives. Where do they get comics?
All right, enough.
We got to do a show.
How do they afford them?
Why do we agree to these things?
Who would live with these people? Furthermore, who's listening to this? What sort of shallow existence must you have if you find this sort of bathroom humor entertaining? I'm done.
So at iFanboy.com, we like comics and we read them, and then we pick the best one that came out this week and write a review of it, and then we gather here for some odd reason and talk about it. This week, Connor's got the pick, but before we dive into it, we just want to warn you that we're going to be talking about what happened in the comics of this past week. So if you haven't read your books, you might want to press pause and then come back, and then you'll can hear about them. So, Connor, you had the pick.
Yeah. Well, we've had 3 weeks in a row now where not a lot of books have come out.
Thank God.
What's
up with that?
Josh spent almost twice as much as I did at the comic store.
I got 10 books.
Never
12.
Before.
Yeah.
Although I bought 2 copies of Eternals.
Well, yeah, well...
Oops.
3 weeks in a row
I bought
now,
issue 7 of Checkmate, so...
And it was 10 this week.
I know, I don't know what
we
I was thinking.
Close. 3 weeks in a row now, I've bought less than 10 books.
Wow.
So, which is good last
That's
week.
Like the comic book lotto.
Totally.
You won.
Although
you're
now
screwed.
I know next week
you're,
is going
to be... It was like what happened to me this week.
40 books.
It's gonna be, yeah, it's going to be like... Yeah.
Every Civil War tie-in and all the Batman books I buy. But it's great when they're good. It's not so great when they're not too good. And again, I'm qualifying my pick, which I seem to do every time.
You do. Every time you have a pick, it's like, I didn't really like anything.
I feel like all the good books come out in the weeks that I don't get to do this.
We can trade if you want.
Well, I'm
you
just
can,
saying. I feel like that's the case. I'm not blaming you. I'm just
you
saying
can do it again
the
next
roulette
week.
Wheel that goes around. Yeah. I just get the bad
kick,
weeks.
Kick, 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 kick.
But this week, 52 week 38 was the pick of the week, and I thought it was quite good.
You know, just real quick on the 52, I have a hard time because it's 52, not number 38, it's week 38.
Yeah, week 38.
Which is weird because I want to call 52 number 38, but that gets awkward.
It is so. Number 38, no, though.
Yeah, but it's week 38. It's
I know,
week.
But it's not wrong.
Oh, I know, it's just it's awkward.
It's the 38th issue, but it's called week 38.
Yes, I understand.
Regardless, it was good.
Okay. Fucking pedantic bastards.
The reason it was good, there was a... There was...
Why are they like this? What do they not have... I'm sorry.
Three good storylines in this book. You had the main storyline, which was... the question, who won't die?
Who just will not die.
But looks
awful.
Grizzled.
Yeah.
I mean, they drew a sick dude.
Well, it sounds like this was it. He's done.
He looks worse than Mastermind from the Dark Phoenix saga at the end.
Yeah.
Which is my sort of benchmark of bad looking.
I think he's done
up.
At the end.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's covered in blood. But you've got Renee Montoya, who you've had a really nice relationship develop between the two of them over the course of this book. And... Now he's her good friend, her best friend, is at the end of his rope, and she's doing all that she can possibly do to save his life. And it was really, I thought, touching.
It's really nice because this format of the weekly, the big novel thing.
I want to know what's happening every week, and you get to keep going.
And they really, like, it didn't feel forced. You felt like their relationship was real. It built up over time.
Because they get 50 to 38 weeks to really embellish it.
Yeah.
And I think we bitched a lot too much in the beginning about it being slow because it was a novel.
Sorry, we?
Yeah, you did too.
Yeah, we all did. I think
there was a middle section in there where it was.
Yeah, well,
weird.
You got worried. You did get worried.
But
what I want to know is so she's taking Questen to Nanda to whatever
to Nanda the Parbat.
To, yeah, which is in the, like Nepal.
Yeah.
Okay, Nepal.
If I had to go to Nepal, I'm screwed. These people go in and out of Nepal all the time. It's not that easy to get around.
No.
So anyway,
it was interesting. I was the whole time she's dragging him all over the place. I'm like. Doesn't she know Superman or something?
Right.
Like, can't she get this done like that?
Yeah. Actually, she doesn't.
Well, or somebody of that ilk.
Well.
A lesser Kryptonian?
Perhaps. But that part was... I mean, we'll get to that in a second. But the other storyline, which we really hated in the beginning, getting back to your point before, was the Steel's annoying niece storyline, which was the death knell for any any earlier 52 book. You get to that part.
Just killed
it.
Just
drop the momentum to the floor. But this time, now it's starting to pay off.
It is.
Now you see where the headstrong teenager character is really going to screw herself by being a headstrong teenager.
Well, the Luther storyline is one of the more interesting ones out of this whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is that storyline.
Right, which is the fact that Steele's niece, in some sort of peak of impetuousness, goes off and joins up with Lex Luthor's superhero team.
The Everyman Project.
And leaves her uncle behind. Now she's realizing, oh, shit, Lex Luthor's evil, which... She should have known.
She played with fire.
And now she's possibly getting... I think bad stuff's going to happen to her.
Yeah, she's going to get burned.
I think...
you just couldn't wait to cram a cliche in there. I need some sort of simple phrase that makes things easier for me to understand.
I'll sum it up. And then the third storyline was really only for humor value, which I love these mad scientists.
It's such a great... And there's not enough of them.
And like, I don't know what they're doing.
I think there's enough.
I don't get what...
This is just enough for
me. I don't understand their plan. I don't know. The cover is whatever... creature they built. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's going to do, but I know they're funny.
They're the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, but...
Because they said that... Because if you look, the one with the skull, that's death, and then the other one is pestilence, and then the other one's war.
Where did they come from? I don't understand.
I don't know
that
either,
really
but...
I just think they're... I just think
is
the
it the new
putting,
gods? I mean, there's some relation to new gods, isn't
there?
Yeah, I thought they came from Darkseid. Yeah.
Regardless, the best part of them is that you get the idea of putting a bunch of crazy scientists together on an island and just giving them a ton of money and having them build wacky stuff.
It's genius.
Is a great idea.
That was a pretty good page. I thought the art wasn't so bad.
The art was
this
good
one.
In this issue.
No, well, yeah,
especially
good.
The pages with in Nanda Parbat with Renee and the question, like the faces and the struggling. And
when
the,
she put the question mask on him and then he fell in the snow, was that all filled? Was that red? Was that filled with blood?
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
That's all the blood.
Ugh.
Now, let's get back to that. That was the main thrust of this issue. And one thing it really got me thinking about was, I guess we all know by now that Renee is coming out of this as a new question.
You think?
I think that's pretty clear.
It would be pretty shocking if she didn't.
Originally, the idea was the rumor she was going to come out of as Batwoman. But that's
right,
wrong. So now she's coming out of it as the question. I originally hated this idea.
Right.
I know Josh did too, because Josh, you know...
Well, you guys have that emotional attachment, Rucka and everybody else who has
Rucka's detective run. She was almost the main character in that run.
And then Gotham Central.
Yeah. You love her as the cop, as an everyman character. She's not a superhero, but she's as strong a character as any of these superheroes are. But over the course of these issues where she's had the friendship with the question, I no longer hate the idea. I somehow find it natural that she's.
I don't so much need her to wear the mask, though.
Well,
I like the mask.
I think if anything, to be any character, she all you know, it's not mm-hmm. so it's not spandexy. She's not gonna be wearing a suit.
No, well, one of the things that
a coat and a hat and a mask.
One of the things that happened with the question is that over the course of Rucka telling this, I assume it's Rucka telling the story of him, he kind of lost the mask over time. Like first he wore it a lot, and then eventually, like, you didn't need that there if you didn't know who he was.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe doesn't need it or whatever.
But the thing is, I almost want it too because I think it's a great visual. I love the mask. I love the idea of the no-hugging.
I liked it a lot more before I knew it was a mask.
Yeah, that was
a great disappointment.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was a mask?
No.
I didn't know it was either.
Like a Dick Tracy movie with Madonna?
Yeah, now that I did the research, I was like, okay.
Of course it's a mask.
I thought it was his face. I thought it was really interesting.
How would he eat?
I don't know.
I noticed looking at the ad for the 52 figures in here that Booster Gold and Animal Man are nearly identical.
It's the same sculpt.
It's like they both have the same color uniforms. They have a big
collar.
One of
those websites you go to where people repaint figures to make new figures.
Yeah, are they selling Skeets as an individual?
No, I assume
he comes with Booster Gold.
Because he's huge.
Or it costs 50 cents. So.
And really, Supernova is just
52 cents.
52 cents. That'd
Supernova is just
promotion.
A Booster Gold variant.
It's a genius promotion, actually.
Yeah, you sell it for 52 cents.
For 52 cents, you get
Why
the Skeets character.
Why aren't we in charge of these things?
Merchandising.
Textiles. We could all get big cigars and suspenders.
I mean, I think 52 is gaining steam, and we're, you know, it's coming into the last 20 issues. But I don't know if this would have been the best book of the week, though. I mean,
I really liked the whole Renee question angle. Yeah. I thought it was really sad. And the other thing that's really,
the art was improved. Like the shot,
the art was really
the
good.
The tears, and then the like, mm-hmm. you really felt cold. You know, like they handled the weather really well.
While I was reading it outside.
Yeah. And it's cold.
Don't start that.
Well, the other non-comic news with this is that we know in about 10 weeks we're going to get World War III, which is what this is all leading to.
Which is your all. You're
excited for that.
Yeah.
I didn't even read the article.
Oh.
Do we do this website where we post news?
I know.
I post news.
I'm confused about it.
I wasn't interested.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they've teased us. We don't know what's going to happen, but that's going to happen soon enough in this.
Let me ask you, did reading The Origin of Red Tornado perhaps increase your enjoyment of Brad Meltzer's JLA?
Actually, Brad Meltzer's JLA caused me to not read The Red Tornado.
This is fantastic. This is great. I love The Red Tornado.
I liked him before when he wasn't a main character.
Oh.
You know?
I like him. And Phil Jimenez's art. Can't argue it.
Well,
just,
it's not really
layouts.
Phil Jimenez's art, is it? It's layouts. By Phil Jimenez.
And he started halfway through and was like, I'm bored with this.
Yeah. No, how do you not do two pages? You just do the layout for two pages?
He was too busy doing that big World War III teaser.
Yeah, probably. That was pretty well. That was very, very good.
Did you see the big high-res one?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
awesome. All right, really so what else we got, boys? Ron, you are
Am
angry.
I the only one who bought Civil War The Return?
Let's
that
see.
Would be correct.
Yes.
Okay. Do you guys have any idea what it's about?
I do now.
Yes.
Well, now you do.
And had I known, I wouldn't have bought it still.
Pretend like we don't.
To recap.
Pretend like I never
This
studied.
Is written by Paul Jenkins and drawn by Tom Rainey, who I have hated since...
I like Tom Rainey.
Tom Rainey did Stormwatch.
Yeah.
I liked him.
And I hated him then, and I just, for some reason, he did Authority, too, and it was just awful. But it's just not good. So, I didn't know what this was.
I disagree with that. I like Tom Rainey.
I like Tom Rainey, too.
That's to each their own.
Lest we get a letter that's like, all you are fanboys hate Tom Rainey.
No, I don't like him, but that's okay. So I didn't know what this was, right? And the cover came out, and I saw the white. It's the white cover with the faint yellow kind of starburst.
Oh, that's just my eyes. Oh, yeah, I have headlights
and
driving over here.
And that starburst is. It has value in the Marvel Universe, dating back to Captain Marvel, the kind of the starburst. But a lot of people have worn it, such as the various Captain Marvels, including the most recent Captain Marvel that was drawn by, that was written by Peter David, and as well as Quasar and things like
that. Captain Marvel.
So I had an idea it was going to have some cosmic flair to it. And essentially, what it does is, and I had no idea what this was. I didn't read online. I didn't read the solicit. I didn't do any. You know, I knew Paul Jenkins was writing a couple of.
That's why I didn't buy it.
Paul Jenkins.
Yeah, I saw his name and I thought, you know what? He's not hitting for me lately.
Now, here's the problem is that I really, for some reason, I like Paul Jenkins. I don't like anything he's written, but
the person he's
yeah,
very
I
affable,
like him.
Very
yeah,
funny.
Exactly.
I've read
and
any
so,
of his columns, his nonfiction stuff. It's
and
very
so I, so I keep writing it and I keep, you know, I keep buying it, what he writes, and I keep getting disappointed. But in this particular case, I don't think he's to blame, and I'll get to that in a second, but it opens up inside the prison in the Negative Zone in Civil War, 42.
Douglas Adams is very upset.
33.1, 42. I just can't keep track of these places. Anyway,
616.
So and it opens up with some, you know, kind of shock trooper foot soldier talking to the warden of the prison. And I guess this is at the moment of the face-off at the end of the last issue of Civil War, when, you know, when they released all the prisoners and Captain America squared off against Iron Man. And the big reveal after the two-page ad spread is that the warden of the prison is Captain Marvel.
The original
Captain Marvel.
The one who died of cancer in the most famous funeral in all of Marvel history.
In one of the best stories ever told, in one of the greatest characters, one of the ones that you put up on a pedestal and just leave it there, and it was done perfectly, and it's fucking Marvel, Captain Marvel, who died of cancer. And I can't even explain the deflatedness that
I
had with
this. Is this a mini-series?
I think it's a one-shot. Yeah, I think it's a one-shot, which is launching, I think, a Captain Marvel series.
Ugh, that is so bad. I want to say I felt vindicated not buying it when I heard what happened, but I kind of did.
Now, here's my problem. My problem with it. Now, he died. Yeah, coming soon, Captain Marvel number one at the end. That's what it says. He died of cancer in a fabulous way. So,
one of the most famous stories.
Is he brought from the dead? No, he's brought from out of time shortly before he died. So it's that kind of, you know.
He never dies.
He's going to still get.
Well, no, cancer. What they're saying is that you still die. Like they. So for some reason he pops out in the Sentry's lab, which I didn't know the Sentry had a lab.
I hate the
and
Sentry.
Now, yeah, now let's talk about the Sentry for a moment. The Sentry was a great idea when it came out. Remember that miniseries, the big sham?
Paul Jenkins.
Yeah, Paul Jenkins.
It was a really good idea. I don't know how well it was executed.
That's the problem. Well, and the thing is that it wasn't executed very well. His bringing back into New Avengers, I think, was done. I feel as if he has no... The character has no depth.
He's got no purpose.
He's got no purpose. He's got no personality. Like, I understand the miniseries that recently came out that John Romita Jr. did looked great and talked about the whole him being the void and the yin and the yang and all that kind of stuff. But as a person, as a character, I don't get how he interacts with the other characters. I don't feel the history. I feel like it's being forced on, tacked on.
I kind of liked the issues that Bendis did with him in the New Avengers.
But he barely did him, though. He barely spoke in him. I mean, like, yeah. I know there was that arc that was in the book that I just got for Christmas, but it wasn't really about him, you know, like, about the character of the Sentry. But so he pops out into the Sentry's lab. So the Sentry runs and gets Tony and Reed Richards.
Because he's the most powerful person on Earth, but he's like, I don't know what to do!
Right, yeah, and with his long, flowing blonde hair. And he runs and he gets Tony Stark and Reed Richards. Now, Captain Marvel was an Avenger. He was like their friend. He's been dead for 20 years or 10 years or whatever. They see him, they go off in the corner and they mumble, 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 and then the Sentry goes, would you like to be the warden of our prison? Not like, how did you get here? Are you okay? You're going to die. Oh my God, it's great to see you. Nobody hugged. Nobody, like, it was the most forced kind of, like, tacked on thing, and this is my problem with it. I don't know, I would like to know, and hopefully this comes out in an interview or something, was this part of the original plan of Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
Or was this something that they tacked on because of the delays?
Maybe somebody came up with a Marvel story and they were like, well, how can we bring him back?
Right.
We can do it in Civil War.
Right, exactly. This feels like a going back and like the director's thrown his hands up and walked away and now the studio's editing the movie.
Right.
You know, I mean, this feels, you know, like...
It's the Magnificent Ambersons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, like, it feels a lot like that. You know what I mean? And it feels like... It just feels forced, and
well,
it doesn't feel...
Well, that's really why I stopped reading Frontline, that same thing.
Right,
I was like, I got you, you have to hit these plot points, but you're just doing it.
Right.
I have to say that from a lot of the discussion on our website, the consensus seems to be that these two... This book, The Return, was... Bad.
It was bad.
I don't see how nobody saw that coming into this. I mean, it seemed quite clear to me that it was going to be.
Well, I didn't know what it was. I was curious. I was like, oh, Civil War. Okay, cool. You know, like,
have any of the specials been good?
Well, no. Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
No.
Just well, Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier.
That's not a Civil War. That was a Captain America special.
No, the Winter Soldier, it was a Civil War tie, and that was the casualty of war.
It was very barely.
Very barely the beginning of the first scene.
I didn't read it, so. But this just feels completely forced and tacked on. And then we had a Sentry backup story, which was just miserable.
Civil War is getting worse.
This is a bad moment in Civil War. Now I see the connection because, you know, ultimately he died because Captain Marvel died because of he fought Nitro and Nitro exposed him to radiation and that's how he got the cancer. So there's a connection there, but they should have made that connection way earlier in the main book. They should have made it some factor. Bringing back Captain Marvel to me is a huge deal.
That's a huge deal. I mean, that's the seminal story.
Exactly. And this feels like this know what this feels like? This honestly feels like an Empire when Luke fell and in the special editions that awful scream got tacked on. That's what this book feels like. Remember how it felt when you walked out of that movie? You're like, what was that scream? Like, I finished this. I was like, what are they doing? Do they know what they're playing with? They're not playing with anything good, mm-hmm. you know. And it sullies the greatness of that 70s storyline where Marvel died.
Yeah. Maybe people will go back and read that great story again, though.
Hopefully, yeah. You really should if you haven't read it. I mean, it was amazing. You know,
I've totally never read
and
it.
And the thing is that like I don't understand. And the thing is that if he's the warden. You know, how that stayed quiet, why he wouldn't get involved.
Is there no briefing session where they explain, just goes to work?
Why is he exactly. the warden?
Yeah, I don't know, because he's a soldier and he's got, you know, I mean, like, I can understand the decision, but
does
like...
Does he know that Captain America's not on his side? Because that could change things.
Right, yeah. Exactly, because they're both captains, actually. I just feel as if it just went so quickly, mm-hmm. and it just...
That's a big, big freaking deal.
And what it was is that it was this whole big, like... heart to heart between Captain Marvel and the Sentry, and I didn't feel any emotion to it because I don't buy that Reed Richards and Iron Man are standing behind him, not talking in this conversation. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make sense.
You know? I don't like the fact that they try to shoehorn Shame. The Sentry into all this.
Yes.
Like we're now supposed to believe that he's been around the entire time and is everybody's best friend. Like right. that doesn't it's false because it is false. There's no history with the Sentry to make you feel like that's true.
For shame, Marvel. For shame. That's all I have to say.
Paul Jenkins created the Sentry. So.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
But I mean, obviously, like I kind of don't mind. Like he created the character and he has an affection for him. I guess it's fine to keep writing.
I don't know if he does.
It.
That's the thing. The feeling I get from Paul Jenkins, he keeps getting handed this work and going, okay, and types it up because this is his job. And I don't get that affection from him for these characters. I feel as if he's, you know, like, you know, hearing interviews and stuff like that he's done, reading stuff that he's spoken, I feel as if a lot of the stuff he's given, he's just, you know, banged it out just to bang it out because it's a gig, you know, whereas, and I feel as if Marvel's like, we really want to push the Sentry, we love the idea of the Sentry, we want a Superman, you know, mm-hmm. kind of character type thing. And it just feels forced. Yeah. It just feels forced. Every time it feels forced.
I can't wait for this to be over.
I can't wait till the Sentry dies.
Oh, he's going to have to.
He has to. It's not working. I'm telling you, reading Marvel comics for as long as I have, it's not working.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Let me ask you about another book, because The Eternals. Is it working?
Once I remembered that it existed, I walked by it on the shelf. I was like, oh, that book.
And I bought it twice.
I don't know why. Did you pass the shelf once and get it again on the way back?
I think that's what I did. And I was like, oh, Eternals. Apparently I'd forgotten that I picked it up.
He's like a goldfish.
This is supposed to be such a big deal.
Yeah, and I think that it could be. I
think it's so dense you need to read it all at once.
It's true. I still think they're doing good work. I think
I liked it.
I think JRJR is doing the I'm not going to say the work of his career, but he's really at the top of his game right here.
I was actually thinking about it, and for years I didn't like him.
Yeah,
and then
I
really liked him. Mm-hmm. And then I was reading this, and I'm like, God, I don't like this. And by the end of it, I'm like, that art was amazing. It was so weird to just have that roller coaster of dislike and like, which I think is good.
I felt very much the same way.
It feels challenged, you know, like I feel challenged.
I'll tell you what didn't feel right.
What?
The end. Yeah. And like, because this series, this doesn't need to exist within the context of everything going on.
No, now it does.
Why do they have to shoehorn it into Civil War? Yep. Why does everything have to be shoehorned into Civil War?
And even, you know what, even if it was just a page in the middle of it that gave it a historical context, so you're reading
this
book.
The reference in the first issue was a nice little throwaway reference.
But this was the end of the book wasn't that the Celeste... I don't even know how to explain this if you're not reading it. But
it's
basically,
hard. It's very dense.
There's these big godlike things everywhere, and one of them's waking up, and that's bad.
He's going to judge.
That's
and,
big Twinkie and, bad.
Yeah.
another big and so runs. And so at the end, like the whole thing is happening, and I really liked the scene where one of the guys goes into like a sleepy coma, and the Celestial is talking to him, and he's like, "Who's that Iron Man guy? I like him."
Yeah.
Like that was all really fun, and they should have made the story about that. But the cliffhanger in the last page is, "Whose side are you on?" And I'm like, "What the?"
And
so really, up until the last page of this book, I'm totally down with it and I'm enjoying it.
Yep.
I wish that page didn't happen, and maybe reading it in trades, it won't feel so.
Well, you could rip it out because you bought two.
I feel like I need to read all these together when it finishes. Because it's
yeah, it's going to be a great collected
like
edition.
If
they collect
month.
It and then if they do a hardcover and oversize it,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that 2-page spread of the Celestial standing up,
is
awesome. But there was one thing that was weird where I, you know, what's sad is that I actually so the Celestials are like these big, huge. They look like robots, but they're not. They're like these huge cosmic beings. And Iron Man and Hank Pym and was Wasp there? Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
Hank Pym and Wasp get come on the scene, and Iron Man's like, "What is that?" And Hank's like, I bet it's Japanese. He's like, why do you say that? He's like, they love big robots in Japan.
I don't feel like that's Hank Pym.
Yeah, exactly. And then he goes, never doubt Hank Pym's junk culture intuition, Tony.
What?
Like, and so I was like, is this the Young Avenger posing as Hank?
You know, the other thing that I was thinking is that I was getting...
The scroll.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
No.
No, but it's not, because then later on he gets big.
Does he get big as Yellow Jacket?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he just uses all his powers now.
But here's the thing I was getting mixed up. Now, last week we talked about Earth's Mightiest Avengers, and I was like, wait a minute, this
Earth's
isn't actually... Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
Two.
Too long.
And the Yellow Jacket in that was unhinged and unbalanced, and I was like, oh yeah, this isn't the same one.
Right, yeah, he's just in the costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, apparently he wears, because I love the Yellow Jacket costume, but apparently now Hank just has all of his powers.
Just wears all the costumes, the powers, whatever he feels like doing.
Which has nothing to do with the Hank Pym that's existing in the Irredeemable Ant-Man now either.
Ugh. Oh, Jesus.
No, that book's good.
Too many Hank
Pym. No. I was growing up at the too many
characterizations are all over the place.
Yeah, no, but all in all, this was more good than bad.
Definitely. I don't want to feel like I'm coming down on it.
No, it's fun.
It's just my concern was just that how long ago was it, and you know, I don't know. I feel as if it's puttering. Like,
this is the book that makes a great case for trade, comics and trades, because this kind of story, it's very, very dense. It's a lot to remember from month to month, especially if it's not coming out every 4 weeks, then you've got to really search back to find. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have your books handy, like, you know, I don't, and you know,
you do too. They're just in the stack.
No, they're in a friggin' storage bin in Red Hook.
I didn't get the variant cover because I really wanted it, because I don't like this cover at all.
Do you ever think of that stuff?
No,
I do.
If there's two covers, all I do is I look and say which one do I like.
Yeah,
better.
That's what I do. And I
didn't notice there was one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you should have when you went by twice.
Yeah, you could have.
Yeah, I know. I bought two of the same.
There was a madhouse in there when you went.
Should have got the variant sketch cover with a seal of authenticity.
So
this will be really good when it's out. I don't know if I want to tell you to read it now, but when there's a trade or a hardcover, I would definitely go for it. It's not Neil Gaiman's best.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like plodding around. It's like he doesn't know Marvel Universe that well, I'm kind of getting.
Well, I think he's trying to stay true to Jack Kirby's vision, and like, it's tough, it's not his
when he does the characters that are not you know, the established characters, it's fine. So like, when you're kind of shoehorning those guys in, it's like, ooh,
I don't know. I didn't get the feeling that he didn't know Marvel. I just got the feeling that this is kind of like hallowed ground, and he's trying to be more respectful than you know, Trent's, you know, like
hallowed ground.
He did a good job with the 16.
Hallowed is a different thing.
Hallowed ground. Very good point.
He did 1602. He's got a good handle on Marvel.
Yeah, I think he does.
I like 1602 a lot. I'd like to read that again.
There's more 1602 came out.
I tried to read some of it. I read one of the Peter David ones.
Yeah.
I didn't so much like it.
Okay.
That's the thing, is you'll find Peter David does like another 6 or 8 books a month that you don't quite know about.
Right, you're just like, what? Like Wonder Man.
Yeah.
Which I almost bought. Why? Anyway.
Because of his leisure suit?
So I love Wonder Man. So the other big event at Marvel this week was Wolverine number 50.
Which, if you recall, when we were in San Diego.
When they announced
it. It was like a big freaking deal. The whole audience gasped when they announced it.
I didn't understand then, and I don't understand now. Jeff Loeb is the writer, and Simone Bianchi is the artist, and apparently he's a big deal.
I liked it.
I didn't mind it. I didn't love it.
I didn't buy it. I read Ron's copy.
Yeah. My big problem with this is that, so this is the big square off between Wolverine and Sabretooth. And I remember in San Diego, Jeff Loeb was saying, you know, let's just settle with things between Wolverine and Sabretooth. You know, they've been fighting, and why are they fighting? And I'm going to settle, and I'm going to do the Wolverine-Sabretooth story. And
it felt like every other Wolverine Sabretooth story.
Exactly. Basically, Sabretooth is now in adjectiveless X-Men, so he's in the mansion. So this book starts with Wolverine going to the mansion and like breaking in, even though he lives there in Astonishing.
Yeah, like, he breaks in.
Yeah, no, he uses his claw to pick the lock. And Rogue's like, you forget your key? And he's like, Rogue's thinks she's in charge these days. And that's fine, I respect her. It's like, they all live in the same goddamn house. It's like, he doesn't, you know, but
he could knock.
Yeah, she actually says that. She's like, at least he could have knocked.
Well, okay.
And so he goes in and he finds Creed or Sabretooth. And Sabretooth taunts him a little, says, leave me alone, I'm protected. And
I mean, because his claw would wreck the doorknob.
Right, yeah.
Sorry.
But
it would just cut the latch.
I know.
They would cut right through, yeah. But he ends up throwing Sabretooth out into the snow and they start fighting. Of course they're fighting in the snow. Like, of course, you know, like the Canada whole thing. And I remember like 10 years ago, when Cyclops and Jean Grey got married, and Wolverine was all feral and living in the woods.
Just in case, he's looking at a couple of blank looks right now.
Right, but for those who read X-Men will remember. And at that time, Sabretooth was in the mansion as well, and being protected, and I believe Wolverine went in and kicked his ass because he was in his house.
This
is the same story.
I haven't read nearly as much X-Men and Wolverine as you have, and I felt like I read it 14 times.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, and nothing new happened. I'm sure this is the beginning of the story arc, and there's going to be some big revelation about their connection, and they're finally going to find out what it is.
Well, he said in the book, he said, I'm not your father, I'm not your...
clone.
Like, he went through everything.
He says, you're not my father, you're not my brother, or my clone. You know, and he's like, and Sabretooth saying is like, you're going to become me. So, like, what is Sabretooth, a future Wolverine? Is that what it's going to be?
He's
like,
Cable.
Yeah.
Sabretooth is Cable.
So, so it was just bizarre. It was just very, very weird. Of course, it ended on the cliffhanger of whether or not Wolverine's got his fist to his throat, and it ends one, you know, with him
it's
popping
like
the claws.
Retread,
and it ends with a snicked, and we don't see what happens. Like, do you remember when he had the two claws on his face and he popped the first one and pierced his brain right before the whole Age of Apocalypse thing happened?
I've never read any of that stuff, but it sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, right,
the
exactly.
The thing is, like, how, I mean, listen, I know there are a ton of Wolverine fans out there, and I even enjoy him, but how many more things are there to do with his claws?
Right.
I mean, come. There must have been.
But that wasn't
so bad.
That wasn't the craziest thing about their issue.
The crazy thing was that there was a backup story.
It's a modern retelling of Wolverine's first appearance against the Hulk.
Right. And it's drawn by Ed McGuinness with like dot pitchy, bad printing, 70s style kind of print, you know, which I thought was really clever and really kind of cool.
No, I was like, this is kind of cool. I like the idea of retelling the first appearance.
And it was good. It had a lot of inner dialogue about Wolverine explaining why he was
Hulk 180 and Hulk 181, written by Len Wein.
Why he was fighting, why he was working for Canada, what he thought of it, what he thought of the whiskers on the mask.
And he had the small claws, and yeah. He had the goofy mask.
And he explained why he called himself the Wolverine when they started, and, you know, like, it was good. Until it turned, much like Scott Pilgrim, it makes a left turn.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's not a left turn that I can really enjoy as much as I did in Scott Pilgrim. And
it's weird. I went, whoa.
So the Hulk and Wolverine are fighting, and then the Hulk kind of gets the edge on Wolverine and goes and grabs his midsection and his legs, and then you turn the page, and it's the Hulk ripping apart Ultimate Wolverine a la Ultimate Wolverine...
Versus the Hulk. Hey, it's back!
Hey, oh yeah, it is back!
That's how they're finishing it. They were like, we're never getting those pages.
So one
the point
moment
is,
we're
in the regular Marvel Universe, the next page, now we're in the Ultimate Universe.
And then the next page, it's Wolverine now, I guess, in the middle of the Canadian forest, waking up from a dream.
So he dreamt the Ultimate Universe.
So is the entire Ultimate Universe a
it's like
dream?
Elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Questions such as these probe the minds of many comic book readers. Now, we all know the answers don't matter, but to them they are the stuff of life.
And I just realized something that is just so horrible, is that it ends with Wolverine walking, going, huh, that was a dream, huh? And then as he's walking, he says, I hate Canada. Which... Wolverine would never say.
Yeah.
Wolverine is
there was also
a patriot. He's a Canadian patriot. Loeb
wrote the backup story, too.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of Canada digs throughout the issue.
Yeah, which is just completely out of character for Wolverine. So Jeff Loeb...
But, more importantly...
Shame on you, Loeb.
That backup story is a big joke.
I'm shaming.
You're doing Stephen Colbert, you know that.
Am I?
Yeah.
I am, wow, and I don't even like him. That's so ironic.
Shame either that backup story is a big joke, or they just opened a huge can of worms.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I don't know what
I think they're in thing. I think they're in the can opening business.
Me too.
Because if they're now going to, is this a multiverse thing? Is this a DC multiverse?
Oh, bite your tongue.
Are you
going to
get
Kilpatrick.
Crossovers?
Bite your tongue. I don't even want to think about
it. You know what's funny? Is if this had happened in a DC book, we'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. that's what they do. It's their thing. Oh, it's all muckety-muckety.
So,
I'll come in with what would have been my pick.
This is the Mighty Marvel episode, by the way.
It's every fucking
not a lot of DC came out.
Yeah, it was a light week, so but yeah.
Checkmate came out. It was good.
I bought issue 7. Again.
Well, the pick was a DC book though. That's right. The first time in a while. Anyways, my pick, this is Josh here. I don't know why I have to do that.
I'm Connor.
I'm on.
This is reestablished.
Episode number 65.
My pick would have been why did I do that?
I don't know.
My pick would have been Doctor Strange. I
enjoyed Doctor Strange.
I really enjoyed it. The artist is getting better.
I feel bad for saying. Remember the first issue? I was the art was. You know, the art has gotten.
I thought you
awesome.
Were crazy then. Right?
The art is great.
I don't think it was bad in the beginning. I think it's getting better.
I thought it was rough in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
maybe
gotten better.
But it's much cleaner now. Yeah, he's really getting like the. It's fun.
It's a fun comic.
I'm reading this, and I mean. Like, we need to kiss Vaughn's ass anymore. I mean,
I hardly read anything he writes.
I know.
I don't even know
how
what
do I recover from that? Wow.
It's like, I want to know if he's written... I'm sorry.
But anyway, reading this, it feels... He's towed that line, that very simple line between doing a book that feels modern...
But it's also retro.
And retro at the same time, and it doesn't suck. Which
it's like Darwin Cook.
Exactly, which is so amazing.
Very Darwin
it's so
cookie.
Hard to
very
do. Because basically, this is Brian Vaughan, who really writes what I would call very sort of street-level characters. His people sound like people you know a lot of the time. And he's doing Stephen Strange in a way that sounds like Stephen Strange, isn't hokey, but isn't sound like the normal person. I'm actually interested in Doctor Strange. I've never been interested in Doctor Strange.
We've always joked that people can't do Doctor Strange as they try.
Uh-huh.
Vaughn did it.
Yeah, he is. He's doing it really well. Yep. A couple of times I was like, why I keep calling him that? Why does Doctor Strange sound British in some of these? Because he's like, ghastly. And you can't say that in American accent. Oh, ghastly. It doesn't work.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know if he got into it a little too much. But this is just fun.
Yeah.
It's like rollicking mystic superhero stuff, and it's good and it's different. Than
I usually
other
don't
work.
Like that kind of thing, but this is a very enjoyable.
I'm liking the
story.
Nightmares.
And furthermore, basically the premise of this issue is that over here, look at me.
the night nurse is distracting.
The premise is that Stephen Strange is completely
Doctor Strange. I'm calling he went to medical school.
You're right.
He's
not practicing anymore. He always thinks he's the best thing in the world. I'm the Sorcerer Supreme. I'm the best that there is. And the revelation is that the Ancient One who taught Doctor Strange, he had a backup. And he's like, what? You
Which
thought
is a great idea. Oh, great
so
idea.
Brilliant.
Way
like,
to knock him out a couple
He was like,
times.
How do you, what's the thing about this character? Well, this character is extremely egotistical.
Arrogant.
Yep.
How do I...
Similar to how he was when he was a surgeon before he lost the... Yeah, so,
how do
yeah.
I get under his skin with that?
Yeah.
I'm show him that he wasn't the only choice. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's great.
And the bit, like, but when they break out of the prison and he shoves the guy's head in the mirror, he's like, excellent observation, you obscenely rank amateur. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
rollicking.
Great dialogue.
Yeah, very
great
good.
So if you haven't been picking this up, this is going to make, when it's done,
nice
provided
little, nice little collection.
Provided he doesn't drop the ball in issue 5, and he's never dropped the ball yet, it's going to make a great little collection. So if you haven't picked it up, you should.
Is it a mini?
Yes.
Yeah,
4 or 5.
Yep.
No, so. He's got another job.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed.
Right.
But at least he's not trying to keep writing comics while he's doing it, because he would just fail and disappoint us.
So the last book we want to touch upon actually isn't Marvel or DC. It's actually an indie book, which is this week was the...
Try not to sound so surprised when you say it.
What is it, an indie book? It was the last issue of Mouse Guard, A Return to Honor, which... has been kind of the surprise.
The indie darling of
2006
moment,
came out of nowhere. I'm the only one who's read it, though. I found issues 1 through 5 at my store, a couple of reprints. I found 4
the
and
store
five
where you can't get anything indie, oddly enough.
Which is, they had all every issue. I was like, oh my god. So,
and the opposite would be our store with tons of indie, we couldn't find it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but the thing is, at his store, they were about to throw it into a fire for warmth. They were like, I don't know what this is.
But, so this is the first time I've actually gotten Mouse Guard the week it came out. And this is the last issue of this first miniseries. There's another one coming this summer. Real quickly, the premise is this kind of Lord of the Ringsy kind of world that exists amongst mice in beneath our feet. And there's an uprising, and the Mouse Guard is kind of like an order of Jedi Knights, and they protect the realm, and a rogue Mouse Guard tries to throw a coup, and it's very, there's swords and arrows and all this kind of stuff, and it's just told so well, and it looks...
That sounds excellent!
It looks really good, and they really play up the size aspect. Like, I've got one page open where they're trying to protect the castle with bees.
Bees?
Bees.
Bees?
And I mean,
that was Job.
It's not funny when you have to explain it.
I know. That was the
but,
joke.
I know. But it was just really good. It was cool to see this one finally come to an end. And
I'm really, really looking forward to the collection that comes out.
Yeah, when it comes out of collection. And the funny thing is that I was trying to put issues 1 through 5 away, and it's in a different format. It's like a square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit in a bag. I don't know what to do. It's like it was like I went to go put it in the bag, it didn't fit, and I was
fit
like,
in box?
I got stuck.
That'll be out in an oversized hardcover edition in April.
I seriously, like, it was like, does not compute, doesn't fit. I don't, like, I was stuck for 5 minutes. I'm like looking around, going, but what am I? Yeah, I was just like, what am I supposed to do with this?
It was the human equivalent of the Microsoft blue screen.
Yeah, exactly. Then Microsoft. It was like Small Wonder, and I just
yeah, you had to
forward. Like, we are referencing Fiends right now.
So Mouse Guard was really, really good. I loved it. I'm glad I picked it up. And if you guys want to borrow one, the 6 issues, you can, or if you
want
to trade. So, but anyway, so yeah, so it was a light week, but it was okay. All right. So,
well, this episode has been sponsored by YouBuyNow.com. It's your spot on the web for toys, action figures, collectibles, and prop replicas. Check out excellent selection of DC Direct, Marvel Legends, Master Replicas, Star Wars figures, and more. Someone got figures today.
I was going to do that ad.
I'm sorry.
You by now are going to be extremely disappointed. You are unprofessional and uninterested. Ow!
It's always funny when he hits them.
Friggin' Brits.
They'll teach him.
So, all right. So.
No offense to our British listeners.
So we love you.
Right. That accent's awful. So, well, but in an accent.
Right. I it cracks me up every time. I can make it about halfway through a sentence and then I lose it. So, all right. So let's move on to the listener email for this week. Our first one comes from Pat from Chicago, who wanted to talk to us about the Ultimates. When his friend showed it to him originally, it seemed too mean-spirited for an Avengers book. And it just seemed like the parody of the Avengers that they did in The Authority. All blood, guts, and steroids, but no soul. None of the characters seemed noble or sympathetic, which is kind of the hallmark of Marvel characters. But recently he picked up a handful of the back issues of Ultimates 1 and 2, and on a whim, he picked them up on a whim, and he's really enjoying them. It's not that he's done a complete 180, but he still thinks the book lacks a little heart. And then the question just goes on and on and on. But so, he thinks the art, I didn't realize, I turned the page, it's like, wow. So his question is that, have we ever gone back to something that we rejected earlier for one reason or another and decided it wasn't really that bad?
Well, when we got this question, I immediately wrote to you guys and I was like, I want to do this one because you echoed my thoughts on the Ultimates exactly.
Yeah.
And
so it's, your answer is the Ultimates, well, ironically.
No, because I never went back and read it. But I'm kind of positive that if I were to read it in trade form and go back, because one of the other reasons I stopped reading it because it just wasn't coming out and I was annoyed. But really, like it, I had just really been finished up with the Authority and I felt like it was kind of an also-ran and it didn't quite feel right to me. And I realized it was the Ultimates, so it didn't have to feel like the Avengers or whatever. But, I mean, he really, like, it didn't, and I... and
there wasn't enough time between the Authority
well,
and the
he had he also had a question, does he think that this lack of heart might be Miller's Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good astute point.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because
that was the big difference when Warren Ellis left the Authority and Mark Miller took over was it didn't have the heart that...
Mark Miller does plot really well. Yeah. He does explosive action really well. He does...
Shocking.
He does those kind of things. He doesn't quite have the soul in the characters that a lot of other people do.
Bendis stands down.
Yeah, Brubaker.
I would take issue with the idea that it was just a retread of the Authority's parody of the Avengers because those guys were assholes and sadists.
Yeah, no.
Ultimates are not at all nearly as bad as...
In that sense, though, you can almost say it felt like a watered-down version of that.
Well, the thing about that, though, historically, if you look at it, dating back to the Squadron Supreme, there's been a lot of biting back and forth between Marvel and DC with versions of the Avengers and versions of the JLA. I mean, that's happened for the past 40 years.
Yeah.
So that was just another chapter in it, and I don't really think the Ultimates was playing that at all.
The Ultimates is the source material.
Right, exactly. But I think it's a very good point about the lack of heart and, you know, so...
I mean, Miller's not bad, but if you're looking for that deep sort of character, he's not been the one, which is one of the reasons historically, I'm not a big fan of his stuff. Like, The Civil War issues that are out right now, they lack something.
Well, yeah.
They lack a soul.
Yeah.
He has no soul.
It's sad.
His other question, did you have any...
Have you ever gone back to something that you dismissed, Connor?
You must have.
Yeah, me? I don't know. I didn't realize that was the question.
The Office television program.
I thought it was the
American
Office.
I would have to say a comic that I dismissed originally that went back and was really pretty good was Youngblood.
What?
Kidding.
Really?
No, it was always bad.
Jesus.
Fables for me. Fables was one that I
don't guys... think I've ever gone back to a book.
Yeah, once you did, yeah.
I think once I drop it, I drop it.
Yeah. So, all right.
No, I have a few times. I think Fables is the main one that I was like, "Oh, that's
good." Oh, I got one, Flash.
Oh,
I did drop Flash and I will be going back next month when Guggenheim starts writing.
Yeah. Right, but I think that's...
But that hasn't happened yet.
No, but that's different.
To be.
So
meaning,
tune in
did
next
you read
week
something?
See.
Did you read something, decide you didn't like it, and then for some reason read it again and thought, you know what, this is better than I originally thought?
No.
I've done that.
Never.
I think, when I was younger, a lot of the legendary kind of books, like the first time... I don't want to say the first time I read Watchmen, but maybe... I think the first time I read like The Dark Knight Returns, I was really young, and I was like, that was good, I guess, but
this
I don't.
Is weird. They talk
I know,
about it,
but like then when I go
you
back later,
that was weird. I love that. When I was
no,
10.
I
had the Dark Knight poster on my wall.
You're much more advanced than me.
Anyway, all right, cool
good question.
So our next question, well, then you'll like the next one, Josh. Comes from Sean. He's been having an argument with his brother and some guys at work, and they're still undecided. Who would win in a fight, Batman or Wolverine? Now, here's the scenario. Both characters are in their prime, no sidekicks or super teammates, and this is not an arena. The fight is Marvel versus DC style in the city.
Batman. I don't know. You know what? First of all, when you're reading it, I was going to be like, how'd this question get passed? I don't want to do it. It's stupid. And then when you finish, I was like, Batman.
Exactly. You get into it. The thing is, it's always fun to talk. I mean, like, yeah. You know, I mean, like, I have no qualms with that.
There's two ways of thinking about this. One is that Batman beats anybody because he outthinks anybody.
Possibly.
So that's one hand. The other hand is, I think the only way to beat Wolverine is to kill him, which Batman would never do.
Right.
So ultimately, I think probably Wolverine wins.
It's what they would do if they actually wrote the Batman Wolverine. It would be some bullshit stalemate at the end.
Well, right, no, but he's not saying when they wrote. He's asking who would win in a fight. So let's just assume that it's just a fight.
Well, okay, let me ask you a question. You put Batman up against the wall, life or death. Fucking city's gonna die.
I guess he does kill Wolverine. Because he did kill the Joker in the Dark Knight Returns.
So he kills Wolverine.
The thing is, I don't know. I think Batman needs motivation. You see, here's the difference. Because I don't know about that. You say Batman up against the wall, city's in danger. Does he kill Wolverine? I don't think Wolverine's putting the city in danger. I think he just sees Wolverine as a maniac that's got to be stopped.
Well, no,
and he'll try to stop him.
But by his dying.
No, but hang on. What I'm saying is that Wolverine will kill just to get out of the fight. And I think that's the difference. And that's why I think Wolverine's got... It's not crazy. It's that ruthlessness that Batman lacks. So that's
why I said he's got to kill to beat him.
In order for Batman to be fighting Wolverine, there would have to be some reason for him to do it. Like, he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, basically, is I guess my point. So if they were in a position where they were fighting, there must be some reason that he's doing it.
One of the stakes.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, that's...
Batman would think of a way to beat Wolverine.
Batman doesn't lose.
I think Wolverine, but neither does Wolverine. It's a good stalemate.
I don't know. I saw those movies. He got beat up a lot.
Yeah, well, listen to movies. Yeah, but if you're
also in the Ultimate Spider-Man video game, when I was Venom, I beat him up.
I did that too.
Yeah, Sean, I don't think we can actually come to a conclusion.
We got way serious about it. Though.
I know we did.
I mean, we
dismissed these questions as frivolous, but they're fun.
Yeah.
Well, because you can't explore the character.
Yeah, and every once in a while, we don't do this every week. Every once in a while, it's fun to do it.
Thor.
So our last Thor is a god. Our last email comes from Steve M.
This is a bit off the path. But
it's a little bit off the path, but yeah, it's interesting. So the question was brought about from our new video podcast, which you can get at ifanboy.com or revision3.com/ifanboy.
I haven't slept in weeks.
I know, I'm so tired. So he was kind of curious, and he was kind of curious about this topic in the past year. And given what we do professionally as a hobby, may be able to give him a good answer. He wants to know, where is media going? What he means is this. Between podcasts, vidcasts, MySpace, applications like GarageBand and Apple, color copiers, digital camcorders, etc., it seems like anyone can produce stuff as good as major media guys, unless you're doing some high-budget graphic stuff. So where is it all going? How do you see media looking like when a group of guys can put on a 10-minute show that's every bit as entertaining as what NBC puts out and get an audience?
Is he talking about us there?
I don't know. I hope not. And then he's asking, you know, where will we be in 5 to 10 years? Do a little future casting, like that turd bird Tony Stark did in the original Illuminati.
Turd bird.
We're all into this stuff. Like we're all like aside from comics, we're all kind of a little bit of techno geeks.
To varying degrees, yes.
To varying degrees. Me probably more so than the two of you guys, and maybe I bring you down with me sometimes. But I think it's an interesting question because Steve's picking up on the fact that we are in the state of transition
right now.
It's
definitely a transition.
The shit's changing. The world is changing as far as media is definitely changing.
You listening to this podcast and us doing this podcast, even the audio podcast, not even the video, is
the whole delivery mechanism
is an example. And really what's happened is that Steve is right that the tools to make media are now put in the hands of the people. And their ability to make them...
Unwisely.
Right, exactly. And from that, we get things of varying degrees of people videotaping their cats dancing on a piano on YouTube to things like what we're doing with our video podcast and what other video podcasters are doing and things that are awesome that we watch and love and think it's great. And it's really great because personally, one of the things I really believe in is kind of like the whole do-it-yourself movement. And the whole kind of, you know, like if you don't like something, do it yourself. You know, and it kind of started with music. And the problem with that, though, is that when you allow a lot of people to do it themselves and put it out there, one of the things that like the broadcast networks and the record labels and things like that brought was a level of discipline.
Right.
Because that when anybody can do it, nobody's really monitoring what's good or what isn't good.
And also, it's a way that you can use that as a way to sort of say, well, this stuff was the cream of the crop because it got picked up this way, and it lets you separate the wheat from the chaff. Because
right.
if you have a million things to choose from, how are you to know which is the good one right. for you?
And but that's the one danger of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good danger that we can be dealt
right,
with.
Right, but at the same time, even that, the talent shines through.
We're exactly. seeing that works.
Exactly. It's happening in different ways.
Right. Y'all be listening to us and shit.
And so, I mean,
I shouldn't have said that.
Ultimately, if he wants to know where we're going to be in 5 to 10 years, I mean, the thing is that like right now, I mean, 5 to 10 or screw that. Right now, you can cancel your cable bill. You
yep.
can get a TV. You can get a computer. You can hook shit up, and you can watch. You can download TV. You can download movies. You can watch. Netflix just rolled out streaming
yeah,
movies.
You can stream straight to your computer.
I mean, the thing is that through the Xbox 360,
the
Apple TV, you're watching the computer and the television merge into one. Now that we're moving to high definition, it's a digital signal. Computer is a digital signal. We're going to see that convergence happen. I mean, look at all you who use your Xbox 360s to watch podcasts and things like that. That's the prime example, and it's going to converge into one box, and that delivery mechanism is going to be a lot easier. There are things like the Venice Project, which is actually called Juiced, which
yeah.
is an unfortunate
terrible
name,
man,
but,
yeah.
but which I'm frantically trying to get a beta invite to. But but what that's going to do is it's going to change the model, and it's really the only thing that worries me about it is that the old dinosaurs
are holding on tight.
The old rich people in Rockefeller Center who want to hold on to the way things were are keeping innovation from happening.
You can tell from any interview you see with these guys, when they try to get their heads in new media, they don't understand it.
Right.
They don't get it. They still try to make it into the old media. They still try to talk mm-hmm. about it in terms of old media.
You know what I think is one of the things that's really nice is that if you look at video podcasting, for example, there is an eschewing of the typical ethic.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning people would look at something and see a certain, like they... It would have to have a certain level of production quality or money on the screen, basically, for it yeah. to be worth it. And that's no longer true anymore, because if the thing that you're watching has a heart and a soul and has something that you're interested in, it doesn't so much matter what it looks like, because, you know, however many hundreds of thousands of people are watching Dig Nation, that's two guys on a couch.
Right.
Ask a Ninja is not great production. I mean,
Lonely Girl?
It doesn't matter. Though.
Yeah, Lonely Girl
it was a slow day at work, and I watched all 68 episodes of Lonely Girl. It was over between Christmas and New Year's, mm-hmm. so it was quiet. And it was, you know, done with, you know, people holding a camera in front of them,
yeah.
and it was shaky camera. I was enthralled. I mean, I'm still enthralled. You know, like it's great. I mean, you know, and it's cool because we're living in a revolution. I mean, this has got to be what I get excited, because this is what it's got to feel like back in the early 1900s when you're walking along the street and you see a car drive by and you're like, holy shit, that's a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's such a new idea.
Just think about 10 years ago how much different it is from now. It's going to be even way more different.
Yeah.
One would be friggin' listening to us.
Right, yeah, exactly.
There was no, we would have had to make mixtapes and send them out. I mean,
right.
like it wouldn't work.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's great.
I mean, a newsletter. I mean, like... Obviously, we didn't work. It's just a website. That's
so. I mean, where we're going to be in 5 to 10 years, who knows? But it's probably going to be way better than now, and way better than we even can think. As long as the rich people don't stop it. That's
don't ask questions like this, because we will go on forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And somebody right now is going, well, "What about fucking Captain America?"
Exactly.
So,
speaking
America?
Of that, though, we got some voicemail, and our first one, Josh and Connor are psyched to be talking about.
Hey guys, this is Kyle from Chicago. Just had a quick question for you about Jonah Hex. I know you guys are fans of that book, and I've never read it before. I've never actually read a Western comic before, but I was thinking about picking it up because you guys praise it so highly, and checking it out and see what it's like. My question is, well, like I said, I've never read a Western comic before, but I've seen a lot of Western movies, and I enjoy them. I was wondering if there's any comparisons that you can make between any, you know, Western genre film to Jonah Hex, and you know what I can anticipate while I read it. Other than that, just want to say a great show, and go Bears.
Okay, Kyle, you want to know about the Jonah Hex there? Oh, that was so lame, wasn't it?
It was pretty. It was Minnesota. It wasn't Chicago.
Same thing.
Oh, wow! I know.
Oh. I do not endorse that statement.
Wow!
I'm from Maine, which is so not the liberal East. I'm a hit.
Anyway, Western guys, go.
I think the one thing I really think of is when I think of Jonah Hex is I think of Unforgiven.
I guess
I've never seen that movie.
Good Lord, that's one of the best movies of all time. We should watch it now. Hold on, everyone. We'll be back in 2.5 hours. We'll just leave this running. Anyway,
Well, it's definitely what you're saying. A more revisionist, realistic Western style, as opposed to the old.
I feel like it's. It reminds me of the Sergio Leone movies, the Man with No Name, in the sense that what it is, it's a mysterious stranger who comes into town and writes and writes wrongs. I know, but he looks just like. But it's that with a modern storytelling style,
which is Unforgiven in every modern Western.
Right. Yeah.
My point is, if you read any of the old Western comics, not the Jonah Hex book that Ron got us, but like. The
Rawhide Kid.
Yeah, those are cheesy 50s style tassels on the shirt, mm-hmm. You know, Marty McFly's costume in Back to the Future 3 Westerns. Yeah. This is definitely the more, you know, modern.
Well, it's a
wider tombstone.
How it really,
it's
how
a morality
it really
play. It's very, I mean, right, they're yeah. very simple. Like they're very basic Western stories, and that like you have to figure out who's the good guy and who is the bad guy. And
right, but I mean, his thing is if he likes modern Westerns that are realistic and dirty, and mm-hmm. people are there's a lot of gray, and not everybody's good and bad, and the hero doesn't wear a white hat.
Yeah,
it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
If he likes that. Then he's gonna like Jonah Hex.
That's a Western, right?
Truly, if you're a fan of, you'll dig this book because it's not hokey.
Yeah,
that's all.
Hey, I mean, I don't read it, but everybody seems to like it. So,
not everybody.
I'm hard pressed to hear a bad word about this Jonah Hex series. I've
heard one or two, but that's from you know.
If you can get people,
there's
always
to read gonna it. Be one or two.
Right. Are you still reading Loveless?
No.
Oh wow!
They changed the artist, and the artist was half the reason why I was buying the book, so I stopped buying.
All right. Nice. I just didn't know what the hell was happening.
That was that other part.
Yeah.
That was confusing.
All right, cool. So our next voicemail is chastising us.
Hello, iFanboy. This is Cameron R. on the forums. I'm just calling to say, give that lady back her machine from last week. That ain't cool, guys, holding on to that machine that she needs so desperately. She says she has three of them, but she needs the one you guys have back. That ain't cool, guys. That ain't cool.
Well, Cameron, what you don't know is that Frances hasn't paid her bill in months, and she's not getting that damn machine until we get a check.
Francis, we're coming after you. None more of this bullshit.
Our last email wants to know what the big deal is.
Hi, my name is Dustin Griffin. I'm a first-time listener caller, and I try to stay up on the general of what's going on in comic books because I work in a video game store, and we get a lot of those type of people in. But I wanted to ask you guys a question. I've been intrigued by this new Dark Tower series that's coming out that Marvel is toting to be a huge deal. I was just curious, as kind of an outsider fan of comics who doesn't get a chance to read a lot because they're too expensive. I'm a big fan of Batman, however, but I was curious what your guys' take on the new upcoming Dark Tower series of comics was, why it's such a big deal, and if you guys think the story is going to be any good. Thanks for your time, and I hope you answered the question.
I hope we answer the question, too.
So do I. Well, first off, he works at a video store where he gets a lot of those type of people. What type of people do you mean, Dustin?
He means you.
Oh.
Sideburns.
So why is this a big deal?
I don't know. There's some guy.
Who's writing it?
Some dude. Stephen King. Biggest selling author of all time.
It's possible he's the most prolific fiction writer of our generation, at least in a pop culture sense.
One of the few authors that can sell a book.
Well,
a few
people
trying.
Walk away from getting run over.
Okay, walk away from getting run over by a van. I mean...
And don't forget, he's Maine's forgotten son. Bangor, Maine loves you, Stephen King, and don't you ever forget it.
Possibly that's why it's a big deal, biggest author in the history of the world is writing it.
I don't think it's a big deal, but I understand why it's a big deal.
You may not like Stephen King, but you have to admit it's a big deal.
I don't think it's as big of a deal
as
it.
Have you ever read a Stephen King book?
Yeah, I read The Tommyknockers, I read It, I read The Stand.
See?
I read,
you don't even like him, but you've read a bunch of his books.
Right, yeah, and well, I was 12.
And the other thing is, I don't believe it's going to be a big seller, but it is a big deal.
Right.
There's a difference.
Well, I mean, he mentioned that Marvel's making a big deal out of it. You should see the press releases they send out. Iron Fist 2 goes back to reprint.
So thank you for calling in. And if you want to email us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Or if you want to leave a voicemail, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS.
Which is 326-2697.
You're Johnny on the spot with that.
And feel free to write in or call in with anything. And we will be answering your questions.
You can also write in and call in for the video show.
Took the words right out of my mouth. You took the words right out of my mouth.
No.
Must have been some. I just broke into meatloaf.
Why? Occasionally, some of them will exhibit strange behavior.
You know what it is? He hasn't eaten in like 7
I haven't
8
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So we should probably go eat dinner.
I haven't either.
I know.
So. You can go over to myspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend, or comicspace.com/ifanboy.
You skipped about 4 segments on the script. What about our website, iFanboy.com? Should they go there first?
You know what? Dude starts singing.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Go to iFanboy.com for all the in-depth discussion. We've also got new forums on the Revision 3 website, Revision3.com, where you can go and post your own topics.
Forums are blazing.
Oh, he's rolling his eyes like he doesn't want it.
I actually hate forums.
No, you don't. You're never there.
So anyway, so you could also go to frapper.com/ifanboy, where apparently we've got like 900 people on the pin. But good luck finding that number.
Yeah,
because
it literally took us hours. I'm trying to move my pin from Los Angeles, where I live before.
I can't do it.
I've changed the thing. It's like, would you like this to be on the map? I said, yes, it's still there.
I'd like to consult with Frapper. So now, Josh, where can they go?
You know what? Go to hell. You can go to myspace.com/ifanboy or comicspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend. We would very much appreciate that.
You could also go to dig.com and go into their podcast section, and you can dig both the audio podcast and the new video podcast.
That would be great. You can do it with every episode, should you so desire. Yeah, we know a lot of you have dig accounts now. Yeah. We've seen it.
And you can get the show, as you know, on iTunes. You can also get the video show on iTunes. And if you get the video show on iTunes and this show, why don't you leave us a review?
Yeah, we're kind of starting from scratch with the video, so we have
very little reviews of the video show. So
the more the merrier.
And you know, there's so many really generous and nice. I'm not saying you have to come give us those, but you know, we really appreciate that.
Yeah, we love
when we need to feel good. We read the reviews on iTunes. They're great.
We'd love to hear what you think. And you can go to the other sites like podcastalley.com or all the other ones. You've heard this a million times. And you can also go to – and if you like what you've heard, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations and help us buy dinner. So that's it for this week. I'm Ron.
I'm hungry.
Wait a minute. That threw me off.
I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh. Oh, that's better.
All right. And we should say goodbye to our friend.
Oh, goodbye indeed.
I almost forgot I was here.
I did. Entirely. No piss-tossing bother. Still sick.